Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, April 22nd. PSP gifts STEM centers to schools. Donation is Energy Partnership's second big investment into education this week, by Stuart Doreen. Innovative new educational spaces are coming to the Permian Basin, allowing generations of local students to stretch their imaginations and discover a love of scientific learning, according to a news release announcing a multi-million dollar donation from the Permian Strategic Partnership. The PSP is partnering with Centennial Resource Development to team up with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation to gift 134 elementary schools in the Permian Basin with a fully equipped science, technology, engineering, and math STEM center, reaching over 60,000 students and 2,000 teachers in 22 counties. The PSP's contribution is $7.5 million. It is the second multi-million dollar investment in education from the collection of energy companies this week. Earlier this week, Midland College announced the PSP provided a lead gift of $10 million to help construct a $30 million, 60,000 square foot structure that will enlarge the capacity of the college's existing pre-K academy and also serve as an academic center for the college's new Bachelor of Applied Science program in early childhood education. Over a five-year period, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation staff will train teachers to deliver a weekly, year-round STEM program with custom-designed STEM lessons and educational STEM products, as well as technology. The Ripken Foundation provides additional training, a lesson guidebook, educational products, and technology to enhance the tools provided in each STEM center. The investment in STEM centers allows PSP to have a positive impact on education across the entire Permian Basin and have a touch point with every school district. With a STEM center in each elementary school, we hope to inspire young learners to explore careers in STEM fields, teach STEM concepts, and encourage them to develop the critical thinking and problem-solving skills needed for lifelong success, said Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the Permian Strategic Partnership, in the release. The Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, a national nonprofit organization, has opened 157 STEM centers nationwide. Among its other programs, helps strengthen America's most underserved communities by supporting and advocating for children. Cal Ripken Jr., a Hall of Fame shortstop and co-founder of the Ripken Foundation, added, "At the foundation, we always say that you could do some good on your own, but you can do great things with special partners. The Permian Strategic Partnership is a terrific partner with us, and we are grateful for their tremendous support. 134 schools in the Permian Basin receiving state-of-the-art STEM centers is exciting and will make such a difference in these communities. STEM has become an integral part of our work, and we will only continue to do more in this space, working with dedicated organizations like PSP." About the Permian Strategic Partnership. PSP is a coalition of 17 leading Permian Basin energy companies who joined together to work in partnership with leaders across the region's communities to address current and future challenges to the responsible development of the vast oil and natural gas resources of the Permian Basin in New Mexico and Texas. PSP member companies include Apache, BPX Energy, Chevron, Colgate Energy, ConocoPhillips, Coterra Energy, Devon, Diamondback, Endeavor, EOG Resources, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, Occidental, Aventive, Pioneer Plains All-American, and Schlumberger. Not for the faint of heart. Blue Door owner reflects on decade of business. Bar's diverse offerings now include Mocktail Selection by J.C. Lewis. Through oil booms and bust, a global pandemic, and the rest of the decade, the Blue Door has remained the same. Co-owner Erica Mann said loyal customers have helped the North of Midland Bar make it to its 10th anniversary, which will be celebrated in July. 2 years ago this month, we were wondering if this bar was even going to exist. So we are very grateful to be here, Mann said. She added that when the Blue Door first opened, she didn't even think she would be in Midland for 10 years. I hadn't completely bought into Midland yet, which is funny because now I'm the biggest defender of Midland, she said. When people say there's nothing to do here, I ask them what do they want to do, because there is plenty. She added that when it felt like the Blue Door's future was uncertain, it became clear to her how much she wanted the business to continue. Mann is co-owner with Cody Reeves. The bar's name came from wanting a name that didn't scream bar, because Midland was a different town 10 years ago, and Mann wanted something recognizable for marketing reasons. She had also traveled to Turkey 2 years prior to opening the Blue Door. While there, she kept taking photos of all these blue doors on houses and shops in the country. I was fascinated by them because they took little houses, which were pretty nondescript, then painted the door a beautiful blue, and suddenly it becomes an image you want to photograph, she said. I also learned that the reason behind the blue doors in Turkey is because it's supposed to keep out evil spirits and bring prosperity. The Blue Door has become a huge advocate for animal rescue, which Mann said was a natural progression for the business. We knew from the beginning that we wanted the patio to be dog-friendly, she said. At the time, both non-smoking and dog-friendly were controversial concepts for Midland. Our advocacy lended itself well toward that because we were able to have animals on the patio during fundraisers. When she started sharing what was important to her, animal advocacy, she found her message resonating with so many like-minded people. Mann added that Instagram has been such a vital tool for the business and its philanthropic outreach. Anytime I have put out a call for something, whether it be funding for Ukrainian refugees and their pets, or supply drives for local rescues, Midlanders have always shown up and shown out, she said. The Blue Door will host a Cinco de Mayo on May 5th, benefiting Fix West Texas. This will be the first big fundraiser since February 2020. Local businesses that Mann frequents have already donated gift cards for a raffle, and there will be another raffle for a cat painting by Audrey de Bleeker of Bleak Art. The Savory Saguaro, a charcuterie small business, will have charcuterie cups people can buy, and Tito's Vodka representatives will also be handing out samples during the event. We will have a couple of drink specials for Cinco de Mayo and a dog at the event, she added. De Bleeker, who was a bartender at the Blue Door, also painted a mural in the hallway this year. That started Mann on another project, which she saw in a bar in Big Spring and at Higher Grounds Coffee Shop in Midland. She wanted to feature local artists' pieces for sale in the hallway. She said the idea gained a lot of traction when she put out a call for artwork to hang. Everybody thinks of the West Texas art scene being in Alpine or Marfa, but we have a thriving arts community in our backyard, she said. Mann is happy that not much has changed besides the seasonal menu at the Blue Door. Of course, the establishment makes small changes like the color of the seats and the addition of the mural to freshen up the place. But even when residents move then come back, they will find the same great watering hole. I'm proud that we were able to stick to the vision, she said. It is a town of highs and lows, and it's not a town to be a business owner who is faint of heart, because we can go from booming to wondering how to keep the lights on in a blink of an eye. One thing that has changed since coming back from the pandemic shutdown is the offering of more classes and events. Those came out of a thirst for community and connection, Mann said, because people like a reason to be involved, and our charcuterie board classes or cocktail classes sell out almost every time because people want to create and be with their friends. Mann said that when it comes to the ever-changing menu, she tries to be very aware. She added that the menu has something for everyone, no matter their budget or taste. The bar has also brought back a mocktail menu, which she tried 3 years ago, but said Midland wasn't ready for a mocktail option yet. There is just as much love put in the $7 cocktail as the $14 cocktail, she said. I have been blown away with how receptive Midlanders have been to the mocktail menu. I've gotten a lot of heartfelt messages, whether it be women who are pregnant, want to go to happy hour with their friends, and have a pink non-alcoholic drink, or those who simply don't drink but still want to go out with their friends and not stick out. Creating new menus has become a lot easier because she has a bank of recipes to pull from and bring back favorites. The staff also contributes to the menu by submitting their new drinks. Hours of operation are Tuesday through Saturday, 4 p.m. to midnight, at 4610 North Garfield Street, Suite 1C. The Bites. Saucito Tamale Factory and Mexican Restaurant closed at 1809 North Big Spring Street. Sibley Nature Center is partnering with Tall City Brewing Company for a beer run from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Saturday at the Nature Center. Packages are $15 and include a special gift and two drink tickets. Registration ends at noon on Friday. Young Professionals in Energy will host a crawfish boil for their April social from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., April 28th at the tailgate. Tall City Brewing Company will host a May Day Eve celebration with axe throwing, food trucks, and beer specials from 3 to 9 p.m. on April 30th. The Destination Midland will host its third annual Crawfish Boil Bash and competition with Bayou Crawfish and catering from 1 to 10 p.m. on April 30th. General admission is $35 and VIP access is $50. There will be a full-service bar and live music bands during the event, as well as crawfish. Fair to Midland will host a summer oilfield bash with a free crawfish boil. The event will start at 2 p.m. on May 1st. Doris J's Kitchen will have an official grand opening celebration from May 13th to May 15th at 4200 West Illinois Avenue, Suite 160. The celebration will feature a live performance by Pocket, karaoke, margaritas, beer, and kids' meal specials. Hop Dottie to mark opening with party by J.C. Lewis. Midland's Grub Burger will soon be Hop Dottie Burger Bar at 4400 Midland Drive, Suite 500. Hop Dottie is a pioneer of the better burger concept with craft burgers, shareable fries, and famous margaritas. The celebration will be on May 6th. Grub Burger, which was acquired by Hop Dottie earlier this year, will close after dinner service on April 30th to undergo a 5-day transformation and will reopen as Hop Dottie at 11 a.m. on May 6th. Hop Dottie CEO Jeff Chandler said in a press release that the company had been hoping to bring a Hop Dottie to West Texas for a while to raise the burger bar in Midland. To celebrate the new location and introduce fans to the brand's crave-inducing shareable fries, Hop Dottie will give the first 100 guests a golden ticket to redeem free fries on opening day and this summer at the location. The menu features mindfully sourced ingredients, humanely and sustainably raised, certified Piedmontese beef, non-GMO Beyond Meat, regeneratively farmed Force of Nature bison, family farmed chipperback potatoes, and Red Bird Farms cage-free steroid-free, and gluten-free chicken. The 4,206-square-foot restaurant offers seating for 138 guests inside, including 22 seats at the bar and an additional 32 seats under its covered dog-friendly patio. Hours of operation are 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The restaurant is actively hiring both front and back of house positions. Those interested in joining the Hopdoddy family can visit www.hopdoddy.com/careers to apply. The company will convert 17 Grub locations this year, bringing Hopdoddy's total presence to nearly 50 locations in 8 states, including its first locations in Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. County says cause of blaze at Viking Pools unknown. The cause of a fire of a business between Midland and Odessa on Wednesday evening is undetermined, according to Midland County. The fire happened at Viking Pools, which is located west of the intersection of Farm to Market, 1788, and Interstate 20. The fire was called in around 7:45 p.m., according to Justin Bunch, Midland County Fire Marshal. Bunch said that officials closed the service road as fire department employees from both Midland and Odessa worked to put out the fire. There are no indications of it being intentional, arson, incendiary, according to the county. Due to the damage caused by the fire, we could sift through that building for weeks and not find the cause. Smoke could be seen for miles as the fire southwest of Midland International Airport continued through the evening. Bunch said neighboring businesses and an RV park were evacuated as officials put out the blaze. MC's Risk Management Institute gets $100,000 grant from insurance company, by Mella McEwen. Continuing a partnership that stretches back 17 years, Texas Mutual Insurance Company awarded Midland College a $100,000 grant to support its Risk Management Institute. Workplace safety education is a sound investment, said Scott Bain, Texas Mutual's regional manager, in presenting the grant. He noted that since 1999, his company has presented $11 million in grants to 11 colleges across the state. Midland College President Steve Thomas expressed gratitude for the grants Texas Mutual has provided, saying they have benefited the region's employers as well as their employees. Bain said he has seen a positive impact coming from these grants in terms of improved safety. Right now, he said, his company's main focus is on vehicle safety, not just in the Permian Basin, but across the state and across the nation. And it's not just fleet vehicles, but passenger vehicles driven by mothers or fathers, school buses, or employees driving to work. I see the worst of the worst. I see the consequences of distracted driving, he said. He added, when you talk safety, you can never do enough. Bain noted that there are safety classes required by regulations, such as those related to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's regulations. But after those required courses are taught, he said the colleges teach safety courses geared towards the specific industries dominant in their area. For Midland College, he said, it would be oil-related, whereas in East Texas it would be another industry. These grant programs help employees get the training they need, Bain said. And for those looking for jobs, already having that training makes them more attractive to potential employers, he said. Aaron Van Evera Welch, director of Midland College's Petroleum Professional Development Center, which has housed the Risk Management Institute since September of 2021, the grants have allowed her and her staff to form strong partnerships with industry associations like Basin United, Permian Strategic Partnership, Permian Basin Petroleum Association, Permian Basin Regional Planning Commission, Permian Basin Association of Pipeliners, and Permian Basin STEPS. She said she and her staff get the word out about the courses they offer and send out surveys to understand what topics companies want to see taught. The grant from Texas Mutual helps provide updated supplies and training material. Safety training materials are always changing, Van Evera Welch said. Technology changes, policies change, we have ESG now. The curriculum is always changing. This lets us better serve our students with updated supplies and updated training materials. The expanded offerings include OSHA 10 and OSHA 30 courses, CPR and first aid training, Safeland USA courses, H2S safety training, IADC well-sharp well-control classes. The grant has also allowed the Risk Management Institute to send one of its CPR instructors to be trained in teaching the class in Spanish. Soon, CPR and first aid classes will be offered in English and Spanish for adults, children, and infants beginning in May, Van Evera Welch said. The grant is also allowing the Institute to research and design a curriculum to begin offering accident and incident investigation classes. She stressed that the training is not just for businesses, but for the public. Anyone interested is welcome to take any of the safety classes, she said, and there are scholarships available to help pay for the classes. Safety is for everyone, Van Evera Welch said. Those skills can be put to use helping someone at home, at work, in social settings, even someone walking down the sidewalk. Safety is about identifying and mitigating hazards and eliminating significant injuries and fatalities, she said. Nonprofits plan Earth Day event by J.C. Lewis. The West Texas Food Bank, WTFB, is partnering with Keep Midland Beautiful for the nonprofit's annual Earth Day event. This year, the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens will be open, and the community is invited to learn about the Earth and how to better take care of the environment. The event is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at 1601 West Cliff Drive. Booths from local organizations that will be on site include WTFB, Keep Midland Beautiful, Cracked Egg Acres, General Franks Elementary, Goddard Junior High Teen Leadership, Llano Estacado Chapter of Master Naturalists, Midland County Environmental Officers, Midland ISD, Midland County Library Bookmobile, Midland Health Community Garden, Midland Tree Keepers, Permian Basin Master Gardeners, Permian Basin Regional Planning Commission, T2Go, and Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The WTFB will give away 100 trees and tomato plants, too. Obituaries from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday. Benjamin Alfred Strickling, 92, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, April 19th, at his residence. A private memorial service will be held in the near future. Ben was born on September 15th, 1929, in Newcastle, Wyoming. Ben is survived by his six children, Benjamin A. Strickling III, and wife Roxanne of Midland, Suzanne Patricia Albright and husband Ken of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Joseph Dodd Strickling and wife Tina of Midland, Margaret Ann Brumfield and husband Bert of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Diane Elizabeth Strickling of Dallas, and Stephen Michael Strickling of Midland, his seven grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. His sister Joyce Silt of Newcastle, Wyoming, and his brother Delbert Strickling of Beulah, Wyoming, along with many nieces and nephews. Ben is preceded in death by his beloved wife Patricia Toller Strickling and his parents, Benjamin Alfred Strickling and Myrtle Anastasia Carr Strickling of Osage, Wyoming. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland, the Nance National Alzheimer's Center, Nance Friends at Houston Methodist, or a charity of your choice. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Alice Sanchez, 64, passed away Friday, April 15th at Baylor Scott & White, All Saints Hospital in Fort Worth. Mary was born November 18, 1957, in Midland. She is survived by her wife, Stephanie Laney, her son, Matthew Sanchez, and wife, Veronica. Five grandchildren, three brothers, Daniel Sanchez, Jr., and wife, Beatrice, of Midland, Ernesto Sanchez, Sr., and wife, Nicolasa, of Midland, and David Sanchez, Sr., and wife, Emma, of Flower Mound. Two sisters, Marie Caballero of La Puente, California, Lydia Colombani of Farmersville, California, and countless nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins. She is preceded in death by her parents, Daniel Sr. and Analita Sanchez, three brothers, Jose Sanchez Sr., Roberto Chato Sanchez Sr., and Cruz Sanchez, and one sister, Juanita Armendariz. Visitation will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Sunday, April 24th, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Memorial service will be held Monday, April 25th, 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, with burial following at Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery. Everyone is invited to return to Our Lady of Guadalupe following the burial for a catered reception. Family messages and online condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, April 22nd, 2022. Fire departments pitch in to fight fire. Viking Pools building destroyed in Wednesday blaze. Firefighters spent roughly 6 hours Wednesday night battling a blaze that completely destroyed a large commercial building at Viking Pools on East Interstate 20 near FM 1788. Dispatchers received multiple calls from passersby reporting the fire around 7:45 p.m., and when firefighters arrived, they discovered a 24,000-square-foot building used to manufacture fiberglass pools engulfed in flames, said Carissa Danley, a spokeswoman for the City of Midland. Firefighters from Midland and Odessa fought the fire, along with firefighters from Greenwood, Northeast Midland County, and West Odessa volunteer fire departments, and the Midland County Sheriff's Office evacuated surrounding businesses, Danley said. It took the firefighters 2 hours to contain the blaze, but another 4 hours extinguishing, quote, hot spots, end quote, she said. The building was a complete loss, and fire marshals continue to investigate the cause, she said. Odessa Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Rod Huber said the biggest issue was the lack of water at the scene. There were no water hydrants in the area, so the City of Odessa sent two water tankers along with seven firefighters. In addition, Danley said the weather was also a concern. Quote, Incident Command communicated with the National Weather Service periodically for weather updates. Our concern was a shift in wind direction or an increase in wind speed, end quote, she said. As always, Huber said the firefighters took every precautionary measure they could, but noted fiberglass is especially dangerous. Quote, you've got to stay out of the smoke for sure, end quote, he said. Early voting on bonds starts Monday. During his Wednesday media call, Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray reminded residents that early voting for the May 7th $398,255,000 bond starts April 25th. The location is the Ector County Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. Murray said hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on May 2nd and 3rd. Hours will be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Election Day polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Murray said there was an ECISD Live Thursday on the bond that was available on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. The bond has two propositions. Proposition A, for $215,255,000, would include maintenance and lifecycle repairs slash replacement for school district buildings. Construction of a new career and technical education center, $70 million. This would include classroom and lab space for programs like welding, construction, health science, automation and process technology, HVAC, plumbing, and others. It would cover an estimated 150,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Proposition A would also include classroom technology upgrades, $15 million. This would include classroom and or campus audiovisual and a multimedia refresh or additions, the ECISD website detailed. Proposition B would include $183 million for a new comprehensive high school. The high school, which would be 6A, would be designed for 2,500 to 2,800 students, cover about 400,000 square feet, and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment, the site said. Odessa and Permian high schools have about 4,000 students each and are overcrowded. In addition to questions raised by the Ector County Republican Party about the bond issue, Murray said Wednesday that 440 full-time students attend George H.W. Bush, New Tech, Odessa. Quote, but we have another 750 students that transition in and out of there every single day, taking their career and technical education courses, so well over 1,000 kids are in that building every single day taking courses, end quote, Murray said. Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said about 150 students from Midland County attend ECISD schools. Asked if they pay tuition, Murray said money follows the child in Texas. Quote, so if a student from any other county attends school in ECISD, the dollars from the state of Texas that are used to fund that child, those dollars follow the kid, end quote, Murray said. Quote, in ECISD, it costs approximately $9,300 per year to educate a child. We only allow students from other counties to attend ECISD if we have space. They have to request a school, and if there is space available in the school that they have requested, then we allow them to come in. But if there is no space available, then no students are eligible to come in, end quote, he added. There also are ECISD students that attend school in other counties. Quote, so just as students from other counties come into our community, students in our community also attend school outside of Ector County ISD. But dollars follow the child wherever the child goes to school, end quote, Murray said. On the location of the high school at Yukon and Faudry Roads in northeast Odessa, Murray said a demographic study conducted by Davis Demographics 2 years ago showed that area had the greatest growth. Quote, we only build schools for students in Ector County, and the school is placed in the location in which the demographic study indicated that the majority of future students will be living, end quote, Murray added. He said there is additional growth in the southern and western part of the community. The bond committee recommended the ECISD build a second high school in the northeast and one in the south and west area to handle, quote, the significant growth in our community, end quote. Quote, but our community said we have to keep the dollar amount below $400 million, and that simply doesn't allow us to build two high schools. The biggest priority was in the northeast corner, because that's where the majority of students are moving to in the future, end quote, Murray said. On the finance side, Murray said Texas designed the current school finance systems to contain, quote, two pots of money, end quote. Quote, one pot of money is the maintenance and operations side, and that is the day-to-day operation of the school district. All employees are paid out of that. There is a maintenance allocation that is in those funds that we use to do the type of maintenance that one would do around your house. We make sure that our facilities are kept in good condition. We do regular routine maintenance on our HVAC systems and on our electrical systems that we have, end quote, Murray added. The other pot of money, the INS money, is the bond side. That pot of money was designed by the state of Texas for schools to use for significant maintenance projects, not the day-to-day maintenance, but it's more the life cycle replacements, end quote, he added. The $130 million in the bond referendum is for life cycle replacements of equipment, plumbing, and electrical work. Quote, we need to replace the plumbing infrastructure in multiple schools in the ECISD. The electrical infrastructure needs to be replaced in multiple schools. The HVAC systems need to be replaced in multiple schools, and the state has designed our funding system so that the bond side can take care of those major investments, and the maintenance and operation side of our budget is to take care of the minor repairs, end quote, Murray said. Passage of the tax ratification election in 2018 added almost $1 million more dollars to ECISD ongoing maintenance efforts, he said. Endless Horizons readies for Record Store Day. Endless Horizons co-owner Sam Logan said it's special to see a line waiting to enter the record store before the store opens. Logan said he expects people to start lining up about an hour before the Endless Horizons opens on Saturday, as the record store participates in Record Store Day. Record Store Day began its annual event in 2007, and it's held one Saturday every April and every Black Friday in November. Endless Horizons has been taking part in the annual event for the last 12 years. There are 344 limited edition items that are distributed to record stores around the country for Record Store Day. Logan said he has about 100 limited edition items. Endless Horizons is open daily from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Quote, it's always a really fun event, end quote, Logan said. Quote, it brings people into the record store to look for a bunch of limited edition items that are really hard to find. Quote, it brings back the way that record stores used to be when you would show up for new releases, never knowing what you were going to find, end quote. Logan gave the Odessa American a sneak peek at a couple of the items that include vinyls from The Doors, Ramones, and Mariah Carey. Logan also mentioned he has items from the Foo Fighters, Taylor Swift, and Dave Brubeck. Items distributed on Record Store Day can range from vinyl to CDs to cassette tapes. Quote, the variety of things they do every year is always really interesting because it's all across the board, end quote, Logan said. In addition to selling limited edition items for Record Store Day, Logan said Endless Horizons is also partnering with the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center to give out tickets for upcoming shows every hour between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Logan said he enjoys the opportunity to support local entertainment industries. Quote, it's about helping each other, end quote, Logan said. Throughout the pandemic, Logan said he has seen a continued rise in record collections. Logan said with a smile that, quote, records are cheaper than therapy, end quote. Yet, Logan explained, the rise in records collections has been a trend for the last 10 years. Quote, it's been growing every year, and I really think vinyl has really become a fabric of the culture now, end quote, Logan said. Quote, more so than it ever has been, at least in my lifetime. It's been really interesting to see, end quote. Energy companies gift cutting-edge STEM centers to Permian Basin schools. PSP and Centennial Resource Development will team up with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation to gift 134 elementary schools in the Permian Basin with a fully equipped science, technology, engineering, and math STEM center, reaching more than 60,000 students and 2,000 teachers in 22 counties. A press release detailed the Permian Strategic Partnership and Centennial Resource Development contributed $7.5 million and $50,000, respectively. Over a five-year period, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation staff will train teachers to deliver a weekly, year-round STEM program with custom-designed STEM lessons and educational STEM products as well as technology, the press release stated. The Ripken Foundation provides additional training, a lesson guidebook, educational products, and technology to enhance the tools provided in each STEM center. Quote, this investment in STEM centers allows PSP to have a positive impact on education across the entire Permian Basin and have a touch point with every school district. With a STEM center in each elementary school, we hope to inspire young learners to explore careers in STEM fields, teach STEM concepts, and encourage them to develop the critical thinking and problem-solving skills needed for lifelong success, end quote. Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, stated in the press release. The Cal Ripken Senior Foundation is a national 501c3 nonprofit organization founded in 2001 to honor the legend and spirit of Cal Ripken Sr., the press release detailed. Focused on the values that Cal Sr. embodied as a devoted coach and mentor, including leadership, work ethic, personal responsibility, and healthy living, the organization has opened 157 STEM centers nationwide, among its other programs, helping strengthen America's most underserved communities by supporting and advocating for children. Cal Ripken Jr., Hall of Fame shortstop and co-founder of the Ripken Foundation, stated in the press release, quote, at the foundation, we always say that you could do some good on your own, but you can do great things with special partners. The Permian Strategic Partnership is a terrific partner with us, and we are grateful for their tremendous support. 134 schools in the Permian Basin receiving state-of-the-art STEM centers is exciting and will make such a difference in these communities. STEM has become an integral part of our work, and we will only continue to do more in this space, working with dedicated organizations like PSP, End quote. Campgrounds closed due to fire danger. Guadalupe Mountains National Park is closing all wilderness campgrounds until further notice due to extreme fire danger and increased wildfire activity throughout the area, a press release detailed. The southwest area of New Mexico and far west Texas are experiencing high to extreme fire danger and increased wildfire activity throughout the area. On April 19th, the Southwest Agency Coordination Center moved from Preparedness Level 3 to Preparedness Level 4, the press release stated. Park rangers have also observed an increase in recent weeks of illegal fire activity by campers in the Guadalupe Mountains wilderness. In accordance with 36 CFR Chapter 1, Parts 1 through 7, the following fire restrictions will be implemented at Guadalupe Mountains National Park. Use of camp stoves and other ignition devices are prohibited on all park trails and wilderness campsites. Overnight camping at all 10 wilderness campgrounds within the park is prohibited, and permitting of overnight trips in the wilderness is suspended until further notice. All trails park-wide remain open for day hiking at this time. Front Country developed campgrounds at Pine Springs and Dog Canyon remain open at this time and subject to the fire restrictions and closure order. The temporary closure will be lifted when wildland fire conditions improve at the park or within the region. Andrews man dead in crash. A 54-year-old Andrews man was killed during the noon hour Wednesday when his Corvette was struck by a Freightliner truck and trailer on FM 1788. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Alfredo Ayervidas was traveling south on FM 1788 when the northbound Freightliner, which was being driven by a 47-year-old Odessa man, slowly drifted into the southbound lane near the State Highway 176 intersection and collided with the front of his Corvette. Ayervidas was killed and the driver of the truck was treated at Permian Regional Medical Center in Andrews and released. Finalists ready for Odessa's Got Talent. One by one, contestants from the community will show off their talents and dazzle audience members and judges in an evening of fun entertainment in this year's edition of Odessa's Got Talent. The event, which serves as a fundraiser for the Permian Basin Mission Center, will take place at 7 p.m. April 29th at First Baptist Church. 18 finalists, split into youth and adult categories, were recently named finalists after turning in a virtual audition and making the cut. This year's performers range from a pianist to a beatboxer to several singers and a few bands. Those finalists will compete for a chance to win $9,000 in prize money. Quote, this year's finalists have a wide variety of talent, end quote, fundraising chair and board member of the Permian Basin Mission Center, Christy Batt, said. Quote, they're really fantastic, end quote. The winners will receive a top prize as voted by the judges at the event. The judges for this year's Odessa's Got Talent are Shelby Landgraf, Sarah Johnson, and Eric Baker. There will be a People's Choice Award of $1,000 that will be awarded to the finalists with the highest number of online votes. Voting for the award is open and can be done at www.permianbasinmission.org/ogt.html. Auditions were held up until April 3rd. After that, the Permian Basin Mission Center Board of Directors then viewed each audition and determined the finalists, who were announced the following week. Batt said the number of people who auditioned was close to the same number as last year. Quote, the auditions were pretty similar, end quote, Batt said. Quote, we had more adults audition this year, but the overall total is pretty close, end quote. This year's finalists for the youth category include Arely Smith, Camila Rivera, Never Too Young, Samuel Chastain, and Vincent Ramirez. The adult finalists are Albert Hall and the 100, Ashley Simpson, Bitter Water, Brian Garrison, Capital Limits, Christian, Grace Sermion, Juan Camano, Kayla Dos Santos, Los Crazy Guys, Michaela Hurd, Molly Angela, and Raceland Miller. However, this year's field of contestants will be slightly different than last year. Only three finalists who performed last year are back, as Simpson, Miller, and the band Los Crazy Guys. Last year, Simpson performed a dance routine involving a hula hoop, but this year she'll be performing as a singer. Like many, Simpson is excited for this year's Odessa's Got Talent. Quote, it definitely feels like a brand new experience, and the reason I say that is last year, I competed in what they call a completely different talent, end quote, Simpson said. Quote, even though I'm back in my second year, it still feels like year number one. I loved the turnout and I love to perform and share this experience with other people. It's good to be back and I love what they're trying to accomplish with the Permian Basin Mission Center. End quote. This year, Simpson will be performing a cover of Leonard Cohen's, quote, Hallelujah, end quote. Quote, it just seemed like the best song to show off my vocal range, end quote, Simpson said. Quote, normally I sing country songs at karaoke venues, and those are great, but when you want to perform, this song brings so much emotion, and it's a very beautiful and powerful song, and it gives me a chance to show off the dynamic brains that I have, so that's why I chose to do this song, end quote. She chose to do a vocal performance this year after being one of the few contestants that didn't sing in last year's Odessa's Got Talent. She feels by doing a song, she'll have a better chance at winning. Meet the finalists for this year's Odessa's Got Talent. On April 29th, 18 contestants will compete for the grand prize in the 2022 Odessa's Got Talent at 7 p.m. at First Baptist Church. Below are the bios and photos of the finalists who will take the stage next week. Online voting for the People's Choice Award can be done at permianbasinmission.org/ogt.html. Youth finalists, Samuel Chastain. I started music around 2020 and developed a habit of wanting to play for people live in person. I was originally inspired by my late step-grandfather, Jerry Harris, to approach music as a hobby, and if it's in God's hands, then I will be able to chase that hobby as a career. I hope y'all enjoyed my performance. Arelie Smith. Hi, my name is Arelie. I'm 17 years old, and I love to sing. Singing has always been a way for me to show my true emotions and express how I really feel. For me to get an opportunity like this one is crazy and such a blessing. I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I intend to take advantage of every moment I have. Never Too Young. Here is a band with three individually gifted young men. Strong in faith, passion, and the love of creating new original music. Never Too Young consists of Leon Carrasco, 16, Ian Chavez, 14, and Aiden Armendariz, 14. Prior to this project, Leon and Ian have been bandmates. Aiden has recently come along, and together they have a blend of styles and influences that are beyond their years. This is more than a garage band. These guys take their craft seriously and will blow audiences away with their sound. Vincent Ramirez. Hi, my name is Vincent Ramirez. I'm 15 years old, and I've been playing piano for nearly 6 years. And I'm happy to perform in Odessa's Got Talent. I hope I can help contribute and raise money. Camilla Rivera, audition, and you would like... Camilla Rivera. Audition, and you would like to vote for me. I would really appreciate it. Thank you. Adult Division, Molly Angela. Hi, my name is Molly. I graduated from high school in 1995. After that, I went on to college to study social services. Helping others and singing has always been a form of therapy and healing for me. I auditioned for America's Got Talent in 2016. It was a fun experience. Samuel Chastain, Vincent Ramirez, Molly Angela. My name is Camilla Rivera. I am 15 years old, and music makes me happy. Juan Camano. My name is Juan Camano. I'm 24 years old, and I'm a beatboxer and a photographer. I'm from El Paso, but I'm currently majoring in video production at the New Mexico Junior College in the city of Hobbs. Capital Limits. Capital Limits is a musical duo started by Kyler Chavez and Ben Hewlett. We are both Odessa natives and have been performing together since 2017. We perform cover songs, but also write and record our own material. You can often see us play at local establishments such as the Hemingway, Homemade Wines, Brew Street, Curbside Bistro, and also at various public and private events. Kayla Dos Santos. My name is Kayla Dos Santos. I am from Rhode Island, and I just moved to Odessa about a month ago. I'm 26 years old, and I have been singing since I could talk. Music has always been a huge part of my life. It was always there for me when I couldn't express myself or when I felt like all I had was music. I attended a performing arts high school, graduated in 2014, and I was able to sing, take voice lessons, and perform all the time. I'm super excited to be a part of this talent show, and I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I enjoyed auditioning for it. Brian Garrison. Brian Garrison is a singer-songwriter from Fort Stockton. He recently released his latest album, Just Like Elvis, on Zadok Records, which is available at www.justlikeelvis.com. Garrison volunteers at his local food pantry in Fort Stockton and appreciates the Permian Basin mission. Quote, it's a good work they are doing. We are going to have to stand together through these hard times, end quote. Garrison will be performing his original song, Falling Back to You, from his album. Albert Hall and the 100. We are a group of worship leaders, family, and friends who love Jesus and love leading other people into worship. Our goal and desire is not to make a name for ourselves, but to make the name of Jesus famous. Christian Brito Hernandez. My name is Christian Brito Hernandez. I was originally born in Midland, but I grew up all my life in Coahuila, Mexico. From a very young age, I've been passionate about music. I'm currently 19 years old, and as crazy it may seem, I feel that my purpose in this life is music. Los Crazy Guys. Los Crazy Guys are a dynamic power trio that plays country, rock, blues, oldies, and lots of funk and soul. The band consists of Isaiah Chavez, guitar, Dan Freyhoff, bass, and Ricky Puga, drums. Plus, they all sing. For the past 4 years, they performed in clubs, restaurants, weddings, and festivals. The band is currently working on releasing their original work. Raceland Miller. Raceland Miller is a vocal music education major at Oklahoma City University. She also has a studio art minor, is involved in choir, student council, and is an athlete on the OCU cheer team. Raceland has been in numerous shows this semester, including Mark Adamo's opera, Little Women, and Operations, A Friend of Dolly. Along with that, she is going to Italy for a month this summer to study opera professionally. Raceland is a firm believer in God's plan for her and hopes to inspire and teach the world about the power of music. Ashley Simpson. Ashley is a local small business owner in Odessa. She has had a passion for singing and the performing arts since she was a young child. Recently, she has found an even greater passion for inspiring and helping others. As a way to give back to her community, Ashley is currently volunteering with CASA of the Permian Basin, whose mission is to help children in need. Her dream is to run a successful business built on the foundation of, quote, people come first, end quote. Grace Sermion. My name is Grace Sermion. I grew up in the Philippines and now residing in Odessa with my husband and 3-year-old kid and my mom. I'm currently studying at UTPB to get teacher's certification and soon to be a teacher. I'm currently part of a band in one of the churches in Odessa. The Bitterwater Band. The Bitterwater Band consists of songwriter Jeff Rogers, lead vocals and rhythm guitar Mike Camden, Jeff Derby on drums and backup vocals, and Buddy Munoz on bass with David Phillips on guitar. Michaela Hurd. Hi, I'm Michaela Hurd. I'm 24 years old and currently I am a vocalist and an artist. I have a husband and 2 beautiful kids. I will be singing for Odessa's Got Talent. Singing has been one of the biggest aspects of my life. It takes my worries away and helps me to reset my mind. It's a passion. I've always loved to sing since I was 7, for about 18 years. I grew up in Odessa singing in church and in school choir, karaoke here and there, but I still continue to sing in church. It's therapeutic for me, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity to compete. Thank you. Quote, last year, there was one band and everyone else was a singer, end quote, Simpson said. Quote, I didn't know if the judges didn't know how to compare that to the other talents, so I thought it might be easier to try something different, end quote. Like Simpson, Miller is also competing in the adult category. The 2020 Permian graduate is currently a sophomore at Oklahoma City University, majoring in vocal music education and vocal performance along with a minor in studio art. She'll be making the trip back to Odessa to compete. Quote, when I found out that they were doing Odessa's Got Talent again, I was beyond excited, end quote, Miller said. Quote, it provides a massive opportunity not only for me to get my name out there in the Odessa community, but it also provides me an opportunity to show what I've been working on at a music school. That's fun for me, and of course, I love to do fundraisers, and I love to help out the Odessa community because they've done so much for me, and it's a good way for me to get money in my pocket. I'm a broke college student, but it's always fun to have some opportunity to showcase my skills, end quote. Miller will be performing, quote, Into the Unknown, end quote, from the Disney movie Frozen 2, electing to do the Panic at the Disco version instead of the Idina Menzel version. Last year's show was the inaugural event, and due to the popularity of the event, Odessa's Got Talent was brought back for this year. However, there are a few differences, aside from the number of different finalists this year. Last year, Odessa's Got Talent took place in the summer, but this year it will take place in the spring. Quote, we had feedback that people were gone a lot and thought maybe the summer wasn't the best time for this competition, so we moved it to the spring, which is very busy, primarily for students, so students had a lot of conflicts, end quote, Bat said. Quote, there are a lot of great things going on, but we had a lot of auditions, so we're happy with the talent. We missed some because of conflicts, but we're thrilled that we were able to see so much talent, end quote. Bat said last year's show raised around $80,000. This year, the Mission Center is hopeful of raising $95,000. Quote, I feel like I know more of what to expect, end quote, Bat said. Quote, it's going really well. I'm pleased at how smoothly it's going. Frankly, it's good to have 1 year in the books. We can improve on some things, but last year went so well that we couldn't be more thrilled, end quote. Permian Basin Mission Center Executive Director Hector Aguilar talked about the many benefits of the fundraiser. Quote, we're excited that we found something that our community can get behind and one that's really fun for our community and the contestants, end quote, Aguilar said. Quote, it feels really exciting, end quote. The Mission Center is a local resource center for those in need. Quote, all of our funding goes to help our low-income community, end quote, Aguilar said. Quote, it's really exciting that we can have something new and fresh for our community. Most of all, it's really exciting to let our community know why we put the fundraiser on. The proceeds go to help our low-income community with food, clothing, and rent and utility assistance, end quote. Aguilar says they're still getting more sponsors for this year's event. Those who are interested in being a sponsor or donating can go to the Mission Center's website at www.permianbasinmission.org/ogt.html. Tickets can also be purchased at tinyurl.com/bd6hkfvk. Quote, we're hoping for a big turnout, end quote, Aguilar said. Quote, it takes a lot of funding to run an organization like ours. But we're pretty excited and hopefully everyone will donate in some way or another, end quote. Obituaries. David Thomas. Kingwood. David Michael Thomas passed away on Tuesday, April 19, 2022, in Kingwood, Texas. George Dallas Thomas Jr. and Peggy Marie Blue, both deceased, were proud parents of David Michael Thomas, who was born on August 16, 1943. David was a loving husband, father, deacon in the church, and leader of his own family. His greatest enjoyment in life was the love received from his wife, Yuvana, two daughters, Devana and Suzanne, grandchildren Jordan, Miranda, and Caitlin, and great-granddaughter, Layton. His lifelong hope was that he had a positive influence over their lives. David and Yuvana felt God's leadership throughout their lives. Graveside services will be at 2 o'clock p.m. Saturday, April 23rd, 2022, at Bagot Creek Cemetery. Condolences may be offered online at www.comanchefh.com. Andrea Wyvette Andy Carter Renfro. Odessa. Andrea Wyvette Carter Renfro was born July 10, 1966, to parents Johnny and James Carter in Odessa, Texas, where she resided until her death. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, April 23rd, 2022, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Living Vision Ministries. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Visitation for Andy will be held on Friday, April 22nd, 2022, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. A wake will also be held from 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa, Texas. She was the most loyal and devoted mother, wife, daughter, sister, aunt, and friend. Andy departed this life on Saturday, April 9th, 2022, and is preceded in death by her father, James Carter, sisters Brenda Moore and Cynthia Patterson, and brother Ronnie Carter. She leaves to mourn her husband, Jimmy Renfro of Kansas City, Missouri, daughter Bree Carter, and soon-to-be grandson of Odessa, Texas. Stepdaughters Felia Monet Renfro of Kansas City, Missouri, and Paige Wolf of San Antonio, Texas. Mother Johnny Carter of Odessa, Texas. Brother Darren Carter Kim of Manassas, Virginia. Sisters Carmen Hopi Yonk of Odessa, Texas. Carlin Carter Reeves of Odessa, Texas. And Carmen Bryant of Dallas, Texas. Two special sisters, Shirley Taylor of Odessa, Texas, and Doris Faye Smith Paul of Amarillo, Texas. A host of aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, a host of many, many friends, and the Renfro family. Death notices. Fernando Edward Thomas. Odessa. Fernando Edward Thomas, 34, of Odessa, died Saturday, April 16th, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 12 p.m. April 25th, 2022 at American Heritage. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Davaline Adams, Odessa. Davaline Adams, 52, died Thursday, April 14th, 2022 in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.